Dance Drive-In Double Feature presents 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Iced. Hey everyone, it's Dan. Welcome to 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Ice, episode 36, covering minutes 36 of Blood Lake and Iced, two great slashers that are really quite fun together. Where did we leave off with episode 35? Yes, okay. They were all sitting around eating lunch, and little Tony was being saucy. Let's continue.
You ready to go?
Yeah, we're going to take off.
Yeah, bye. Bye. Come on. Take it easy.
Right, come on by for a beer later on.
All right, thanks. All appreciate it.
Take it easy.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
See you later.
See you later.
Right. Bye. Pick up this trash first. Dex will eat it all.
Oh boy, folks. Literally the last, the last second or the last moment of that is the guy in the purple shirt. He still has the same purple shirt on, looking like he's trying to get in the house. And he's on the side of the house where the shed is, which is the front door, which we've discussed this before. You have your back to the water, you're facing the back of the house with the door, but then you go over to the right, and then there's the front door, which has like a screen door kind of thing, and then over on to the right of the house is the shed that they don't have the key to. But yeah, at the very last moment here, Steve and Steve, I'll have to get their names later, I'm sorry, we're calling them the two Steves, see our guy with the knife and the killer and the purple shirt and everything. Why did they put him in that purple shirt? He's a big beefy guy, but and he's got like a nice hat on. He's kind of, you know, he's got a stylish hat and black pants and like brown boots but this purple shirt with this doily stuff around the neck. I don't understand our killer. I guess I'll understand it as we go along. We still have time. But yeah, that's how the minute ends. Literally the last second is the two Steves are walking up. We'll talk about what they're walking up in a moment. They're walking up along the side of the house, and they see this guy there. Boom. Now, when I say we'll talk about what they're walking up, when the car pulls in the beginning, the camera is sort of set on the lawn in the back of the house, and we see the car with the boat kind of pass us by, go around a tree, and then pull up onto the lawn so they can back up the boat. And you don't fully sort of see what it is they're driving on. You figure it's a driveway. But I suddenly realized that when it cuts to the two Steves leaving, and they do say, stop by for a beer later, so they'll hopefully be stopping by for a beer later. When you see the two Steves leaving, they're walking up the street, the driveway that the car went down, and it kind of goes down towards the water and then curves around. And I thought, I don't think that's a driveway. I would bet that is an actual road that people drive down and connect to their docks along there. I thought it was a driveway, but I don't know for real. And I guess I can try to look. You know me, I'm very interested in the geography of everything, because the moment you see that road, the first or that driveway, whatever it is, and they're walking up it, I thought, where are we now? What's going on? It's like, you know, it's either like the lake house is like, it's like a puzzle box that constantly opens and reveals new, exciting, sometimes pinhead filled avenues and places and strange spots, or it's just annoying that they won't actually just take a freaking shot of the place and establish it. Maybe they didn't even think of that. I almost feel more like that it isn't like they didn't think to do that. It's they thought, okay, well, you know, it's a lake house. Folks know what those are up to. Here, this is all we need to give. But like, I'm like, I don't get it. This, you know, like I mentioned my family's cottage. Ours was situated by the lake, but it was actually, oddly enough, up on a hill. So what you would do is, you would leave the cottage and you go towards the water. You'd cross a road. And when I say road, it was like a spot that was just like rocks that you would drive over. And then basically you there was a hill and you just, whoosh, it was a steep hill you'd go down. You could run down it, but you would, and this happened on more than one occasion, you might go into the water. And two, there were very like, tough to maneuver, but maneuverable steps. And then you got to the water, and there was a dock, there was the boathouse, there was the boat, you went out and did it. So we didn't have one that kind of gradually, like this one, kind of went into the water. But I guess it doesn't go into the water if there's a road there. That's why I think it's a road. I think it's like they have their space, and then you have your dock behind your house, but there's this service road that goes by where everyone drops stuff off. Possibly, maybe. So, what's the rest of the minute? They leave and go water skiing again. And there is a lovely moment where the two Steves are leaving. And it's interesting there I go saying it's interesting. I mentioned the last one that I say that a lot. But I find it interesting that if you could listen to what the two Steves are saying, one of them is saying this was such a nice afternoon or something like that, especially, you know, just getting away from work for a while. And they go, yeah, man, oh, God. And then when it cuts back to them after the boat pulls away, one of them says, like, Steve's such an a-hole or something. Well, no, they're Steve. I don't know. Ron's such an a-hole or whatever it is he says, kind of, which made me think he was talking about, like, wherever it is they work. I thought that's interesting because I get the feeling from our gang that, you know, they got their own lake house. They're doing all right. None of them are having summer jobs unless they want to have a summer job just for fun. So it's interesting that the two Steves are like, they're happy that they were able to do this because they didn't have to be at work because it was a break from work, which is interesting. So, so they're going there, and I like the moment when I like everyone laughing at little Tony's remark at the beginning of the minute. If you remember his remark from the previous minute, you'll know what I speak of. And but there is an interesting moment where there's a long shot and they all stand up, and it's funny because Mike and Brian both have their plates and like napkins in their hands and they're walking towards the camera, and then Becca says, let's clear all this up because the ducks will come and eat it all. And then the two of them turn around and go to clear it up. And the thing I like about that moment is that if you listen to the way Becca says that line, to me, that doesn't feel like a scripted line or like an actor saying something. It actually feels like, hey, guys, before we, you know, get in the boat and do the next water skiing scene, we need to clear this crap up because all the ducks are going to show up. So, yeah. So I like that very much. I think that's fun. So we actually have I like when the Steves are walking up, the music is kind of ominous, and it's like, why is the music being ominous? They're just leaving. But it's like, is the shed door open? I'm looking at I actually have the guy up on my screen at the end of the minute. It looks like the shed door. And I like the fact that he's so bold right here that literally, I mean, there were 8 people? How many people? Like 100, 200 feet away on the lawn? And they all get in the boat, and immediately he's out there trying to get in the house again? That's a little creepy. We'll see what he's up to more in the next minute. But yeah, let's go to Iced. We left John giving Diane something or other. I forget. Did we find out what it was? We'll find out in this minute. So yeah, John and Diane, they're in their room. Dinner is approaching, and he gave her a little gift. Looks like a ring. Let's listen.
I love him.
You like him?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm better.
Yeah? How are you doing?
I feel better now. Hold me.
Jeanette sure hasn't changed, has she?
No. She's still obsessed with Eddie.
Well, you just have to put up with her obsessions and indulge in a few of our own.
I'll be in the bathroom.
Okay.
Harvard student dies in ski accident. Jeffrey Allen Simmons, age 22, died while skiing in Park City. I can't read it all. It's John finds in one of the drawers of the dresser a cutout, little clip from a. Actually, it doesn't. Well, maybe it's not the best. I'm looking at it now. Because you see it and you immediately think, oh, it's a newspaper clipping. But one, what kind of headline is that? Two, it seems to be from like the left hand corner of a page. But where's the sort of delineation of what paper this is? Where would this paper be from? Park City, Utah? Park City Herald, Park City Tribune. It's interesting. I get exactly what they're doing, and I'm all for it. And I've seen more legs cut off. I've seen more crazy ass. Have you ever seen Driving Massacre? The headlines they have in there. I am all for wonderfully goofy newspaper headline kind of things. But it's funny because this isn't a newspaper headline. This is almost like a little piece that would be on like page 30 or something like that. Do newspaper set things go up to page 30? Well, they might if it was Sunday or something. Let's say page 8, on page 8. You know, but yeah, so Jeffrey Allen, I think it says Simmons. It's a little tough to see. But this is an interesting minute because it turns out that we thought John was a douche. Then at the end of the last minute, we thought he wasn't a douche. Now it turns out he is a douche. He gives Diane a pair of earrings, and she's very thrilled by them. And she says, you know, he asks, how are you doing? She says, okay, hold me. And then he immediately slaps her on the ass, gets up, and continues unpacking and talking about Jeanette. Folks, if you're with your love, and you give them a little gift, and they're feeling a little vulnerable, and they say, hold me. What you do at that point is very simple. You hold them. You hold them for as long as they need to be held. I know that he wants to. I get that too. I know that he wants to unpack that freaking suitcase. I know it. But he should not at that moment. That's his goof. And it angers her, and she leaves the room. And then he finds the newspaper clipping, puts it in his pocket. And the last few seconds are actually the broken visor person out in the woods watching the back of the lodge. And I love the back of the lodge, like with these balconies and things. And you see, it looks like everyone is going outdoors for whatever reason. I thought they weren't going out, but it looks like they're going outdoors for whatever reason. We'll find out more in the next minute. But that's the minute, basically. It's John being a douche, John bothering Diane, even though he gave her nice earrings. And, you know, if you're going to buy a nice gift for someone you love, don't dild it up, like, right there. You know, don't be, hey, I'm giving you this great gift. I'm an ass. You know, you got to be nice. Huh? Be nice. Be good. You know, it's tough enough getting through the average day of life. You know, just be nice, you know? And if you, here's the thing. How about this? Like, no, I'm tempted to quote the doctor at the end of the previous episode of Doctor Who Twice Upon a Time, which is laugh hard, run fast, be kind. But I'm not going to quote that. Although I just did. But I'm just going to say, be kind. You know, be kind to people you don't know. And be kind to the people you love. And so this, John doing this is just douchebaggery to me. However, like with Blood Lake, if I can hop ahead. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent there. Like with Blood Lake, there is a feeling that, oh my gosh, okay, so we see that guy hanging around the house. He's there. He's a jerk. He's there. Something's going on with this guy. Well, we know there's something going on with him because he killed the guy early on. But it was a long time ago when he killed that guy. And then you see the newspaper clip and you're like, okay, someone's up to something. oh boy, who is it? And it's fun, you know, because I feel like we are on the verge of everyone reconvening, as it were, and then we'll be having dinner soon. I also feel like in Blood Lake, we're going to be rocking with Voyager and some more water skiing, then maybe some beers in a bit. It's funny, yeah, with Blood Lake, I really don't know at this moment when and if we're going to actually do anything. I know we'll do something eventually, but sort of when and if. But Iced is definitely moving towards it, and I think part of it is the dinner. Part of it is everyone reconvening. Part of it is Alex coming over for the dinner, too. So we'll see how all of this goes. I'm gonna strain myself on this one. The last one I overtalked, I think. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. But I'm gonna strain myself a bit here, and because I want everyone to assemble, then I can maybe go overboard a little bit here. But yeah, this was a very sort of plot-specific moment, and there is the interesting thing too with Iced that you have Eddie and Jeanette who are clearly sort of on the outs, but neither of them will kind of say it. And you have John and Diane, who it's clear she loves him, but he's just detached himself in such a way that is unpleasant. And you have Carl, who's by himself, but then you have Trini and Corey, who are clearly super in love, and I think probably got married within the past year or so. I don't know if they say it, but you know, you got these different sort of spaces, and it's interesting that Trini was the one who was kind of with Jeff, and Corey and her became a couple, which sent him to his death, as goofy as that was. But they're the ones that are great, whereas the other couples who seem to be great aren't so great now. So things will develop. We've still got a lot of time, folks. What do we got? I mean, we're 36 minutes in, and yeah, Blood Lake is 82, Iced is 87. So let's see. You know what? I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to ask you to listen to this.